coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com for all news, information, articles, contributors, articles, everything you need. Just bookmark Hagman, two N's on Hagman, HagmanReport.com. Also, at the top of that, of course, there's a bar that'll take you to our new or our show page. It has all of the episodes, segments and so on. Again, at the top of the page, HagmanReport.com. That's your one-stop shop for all things this program, this show. And I want to thank you, for bookmarking that. Also, we're on Rumble. That'll take you to Rumble too. We're on Rumble and Brighteon. Please subscribe to both, one or the other or both. That way you can be notified immediately when there is a new video. Plus, as well, you can enter into discussion at Rumble and Brighteon through, I believe it's through Discus. But nonetheless, it's always good to hear or read comments, good, bad, and indifferent, about the show. America held hostage, day number 79. It is Thursday, the 8th day of April, 2021. And when I say America held hostage, a lot of things going on. And we, by the way, I've got a tremendous program for you today. Steve Quayle and Dr. Sherry Tenpenny coming right up here momentarily. As soon as Eric the Tech gives me the signal, then we will go right to them. Couple of things you're going to see today, you've seen today, the layout of the Department of Justice or Biden regime outlining the six executive actions they're going to initiate for unilateral gun control efforts without the legislative branch. Of course, you know, the anti-fascist movement. Oh, we can't have fascism. What is this? It's tyranny, right? It's tyrannical. Anyway, it's folks, you knew it was coming. And you know, I'm getting very tired of the people who say, well, I lost mine in a boating accident. If it's time to lose them in those dreaded air quotes, it's time to use them. Don't you agree? Yesterday we had, I had Joel Gilbert on the first hour. I don't know how many people caught that. This about the Derek Chauvin trial. And, of course, he covered the Trayvon Martin hoax, George Zimmerman. Folks, if you haven't seen the documentary on Trayvon Martin or gotten the book on that, you've got to really get that to see what is coming, to see how we've been lied to. And, you know, we're being lied to in every segment of our, world as it is. Okay. So, what's that? All right, a couple more minutes here, and then we'll be good with both Steve Quayle and Dr. Tenpenny. I'm excited to hear what they both have to say, but in particular, Dr. Tenpenny, who's really a tremendous asset in the medical field and the information about what we're dealing with, including and especially the experimental gene therapy, which is being masqueraded as a vaccine. All right. Now, again, I would urge everyone to take a look at the gun executive order about the gun executive actions, I should say, about the unilateral gun control efforts without the legislative branch. I would urge you to do that. In the run-up for Dr. Tenpenny and Steve Quayle, I just want to give you a little bit of information, all right, about Dr. Tenpenny. If you have not heard of her, come out from whatever rock you are under. She's very, very, very well known. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is a doctor of osteopathy. She is, again, an osteopathic medical doctor, board certified in three medical specialties. She's widely recognized and most knowledgeable and outspoken physician on the adverse impact that vaccines in general can have on health. Now, she's been a guest on hundreds of shows, radio, national television shows. This one, of course, is the best, the widest reaching. Yes? Yes? Okay. She's been a guest with Dr. Oz, for example. She's been on the Today Show, Australia. Now, she's lectured at Cleveland State University, Case Western Reserve. I can go on and on. But she's the author of several books as well, including her bestseller, Saying No to Vaccines. She's a contributing author for several other books, probably more than most people have read. All right, she's authored. And anyway, one includes a textbook of food and nutrients and disease management. Her articles for magazines have been published in over 10 languages around the world. Pity I only speak 8. So anyway, from 1986 to 1998, she was a full-time emergency medicine physician and director of the emergency department in Findlay, Ohio. Her corporate experience includes serving as the medical director for the Senoviv, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, medical center, a 40-bed hospital located in Rosarito. If I'm pronouncing that correctly as well, Mexico, in 2008, and chief medical consultant for Parker Hannifin, a Fortune 250 company with some 60,000 employees in 48 countries. And that was from 2012 to 2014. Need I go on? I don't think so. You can read about her qualifications at her website, which is linked at HagmanReport.com. I'll tell you what, an incredible guest. And here's the key. She is going to be a keynote speaker at Extinction Protocols, the conference, upcoming conference. Steve Quayle, of course, Extinction Protocols. Folks, go to Gen6, G-E-N-S-I-X. That's Gen6.com. Order your tickets. Purchase Extinction Protocols 2021 live stream video on demand. Do it today. Oh, my goodness. Do it today. Please, if for no other reason, to hear this guest's presentation. I'm going to kick this over to Steve Quayle now that we have all of our video assets in place. Steve, thanks for coming on, and take it from here.
Oh, thank you, and my special thanks to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. We're at 1 year plus on the whole Wuhan biological weapons launch on the West. We're being fed the most horrific, non-scientific propaganda that's ever been, in my opinion, even surpassing Hitler and the whole Third Reich. We are living in the world of lies. And unfortunately, anybody who tells the truth, anybody with a scientific understanding, anybody with the background and knowing what they're talking about, and certainly Dr. Sherry does know what she's talking about, is automatically classified as a conspiracy theorist. And so I want everybody to put one thing in their mind. Nothing the mainstream media says is true. And with that, I want to turn it over to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Dr. Tenpenny, thank you. Number one, you're a delight, and I'm so glad to meet you. And when I heard from you that you listened to Doug and I, it blew my mind, because what a blessing it is to be able to have you on and also to be one of our keynote speakers at the Extinction Protocols. And, you know, the title for Extinction Protocols, we're watching the mass termination of the human race. So thank you. And you speak until you get tired, because we're here to hear you today, and blessings to you.
Well, thank you so much, Steve and Doug. You know, I've been a big fan of yours, Steve, for many, many years. I followed so much of what you've done. I have several of your books. I followed you when you were pretty regular in Coast to Coast, and was always looking forward to hearing you on there as a guest. And to be on the Hagmann and Hagmann Report, I'm telling you, it's something I've wanted to do for a really long time. So it's a real blessing.
Well, and Dr. Tenpenny, hey, are we supposed to be seeing her live, because she's frozen on the screen right now?
Yes.
So does Eric have to reconnect?
Eric, do we have to doctor, if you can just try this first, click your video button on and off once, and we'll see if that works. Generally speaking, it's just a bandwidth issue on the
there
other side.
Go.
Okay, here we
there
go.
There we go.
All right.
Great.
So, Dr. Tenpenny, in the last month, the acceleration against anybody who's telling the truth. Obviously, we're all being deplatformed. We're all being minimalized, marginalized, and everything. But can you explain the, if you will, just seeing this and fighting for the truth about vaccines for all the years you have, can you explain the American mindset where basically it's like Dante's Inferno now, where they abandon all reason, they who enter here. So as a medical doctor, as a professional, the mindset of America to take an unproven genetic therapy unrelated to the V word, and I just call it the V word, the vaccination spelled triple X, the bottom line is it's astonishing to me that we've allowed propaganda and the mainstream, and I'm speaking for myself now, so don't get anybody mad at Dr. Tenpenny, but MSM seems to be mainstream murderers because they're going along with this lock, stock, and barrel. So go ahead.
I couldn't agree with you more, Steve. In fact, when I first started seeing all of this happening back March of last year, it was just shocking to me how the whole world just rolled over instantly and started wearing masks and were so afraid. In fact, the first article that I wrote was called Same Playbook, Different Virus. And I took a longitudinal look back at SARS, MERS, bird flu, swine flu, and said, they're just doing the same thing all over again. Why are people just falling for this? And it was just pretty shocking to me. And I started the article, and I'll paraphrase it, of what I said in the beginning was, unless you've been a cloistered nun or been a monk in a high Himalayan a monastery for the last 6 weeks, it's the only way you would have missed the 2.1 billion messages that have come across the mainstream media in the last 6 weeks, simply to instill fear in a virus that has proven to be no big deal. You know, we've now got globally, we've got a virus that has about a 1% death rate, and why people are so willing to run to the front of the line to be injected with an entirely experimental drug, I can't call it a vaccine either because it's not, that has never had any long-term studies, has only been approved for emergency use, is not FDA qualified. They don't even have a package insert because once you're an FDA approved vaccine or a drug, you're required by federal law to have a package insert. All they have for these products is a physician advisory. And they're not even required by law to list every single ingredient that is in each one of these injections. And I don't like to use the term genetic modification therapy, because therapy to me implies it does something good. It's like speech therapy or physical therapy or cardiac rehab therapy. That's trying to do something to improve you. What these injections are doing are genetic modification tools that in no way are trying to improve your genes. We've all been labeled saying that, you know, oh, well, the messenger RNA doesn't change the DNA. That's actually correct. But the messenger RNA is translated into a protein. The spike protein then can be reincorporated into your genetic material through a process called transfection. And once that's done, as far as I can tell from all the medical literature that I've read in the past and currently, that is a permanent, irreversible change in your God-given DNA. And why anybody would rush to the front of the line to be injected with something that has no proof, no long-term studies, and will change your God-given DNA, to me, Steve, it's sort of like watching somebody run to the front of the line to get in the train. That's the bullet train to go to Auschwitz. These genetic modification technologies are going to change you permanently. I have mapped out 20 mechanisms of injury of how these shots can cause irreversible harm, chronic disease in terms of autoimmune disease, neurological complications, and can even kill you. And if I can find 20 over the last several months, I've spent hundreds of hours combing through medical literature, but if I can find 20, I can assure you there are many more. And I've said from the beginning, this is a well-designed killing tool, and it really is.
Well, and I think, too, the thing is, you know, I'm reminding everybody, Dr. Sherry, that the Georgia Guidestones when they came out. You know, when they came out, everybody said, oh, those are nice. They want to, yeah, they just want to maintain the world's population of 500 million. Nobody asked the question until just recently. And I started pushing the issue, and it's important that what happens to the other 7.4 billion people? And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the initiation of that. Now, it doesn't matter if it's a World Economic Forum, the United Nothings, formerly known as Nations, the diabolical plan to destroy the human race. And as Dr. Sherry just claimed, this is the thing that is the most astonishing to me. And will you address all of the, for instance, the reproductive issues and women who are carrying children, male sperm count? It's the end. And, you know, I don't pull pensions. I think you know that. But this is the extermination of the human race. People are cooperating in it. I know people like thank you, Eric, the Georgia Guidestones. It's so astonishing to me. And by the way, they should be called, I'll give you a little clue here. They should be called the Georgia Gatestones, as in, the founder of Microsoft. You know, there was a lot of people, but this is the globalists, the Illuminists, the Satanists. This is the plan to take the world's population down. The destruction, even vaccinating children, and I use that word, I'm sorry, their word, even injecting those children, I believe that it's all designed to kill human fertility.
Yes, yeah, Steve, and I agree with you. It's not only designed to kill human fertility, it's going to kill humans. I want to go back just one step and explain how the Pfizer and the Moderna shot work in your system. What they do, excuse me, is there's a little piece of genetic material that is encoded. It's the messenger RNA, and they say that it's encoded. And the best way to explain it so people can understand it is imagine this little piece of genetic material has a recipe written on the front of it. And the recipe is to build a spike protein. So that little piece of genetic material with the recipe on it, if you were to inject that just into the body just all by itself, it would dissolve and your body would take care of it as a foreign protein very quickly. It would have no response in your body whatsoever. So in order to deliver that to your cells and in order to make it be able to make that recipe encode to create that spike protein, they have to wrap it in three coatings of lipid material, actually four coatings in the Pfizer. That lipid material has never, ever, 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 ever been injected into human beings before. They're very long chemical names. And I use this example of saying, you know, sometimes if you remember back to your high school chemistry, you can have three inert ingredients sitting on the bench. They don't do anything. But if you mix them together in a test tube, and it can blow up the test tube. So not only are we using one experimental lipid, we're using three. So we wrap that around it. Imagine like it making a golf ball, a tight lipid coating around the outside. And then you put a shellac around the outside of that with something called polyethylene glycol. Because polyethylene glycol is used so widely in all kinds of products, up to 70% of the American population, and probably globally, but for sure the American population, has already been pre-sensitized to the polyethylene glycol. So you've got this little piece of genetic material wrapped in this lipid experimental bubble, never been injected into human beings before, and has to be kept at a very, very cold temperature, like minus 90 degrees Fahrenheit, so it doesn't break down in order to inject it into your system. So then you've got the shellac around the outside of it called polyethylene glycol. So just understanding the chemistry of what's being injected into human body experimentally should be enough to make people pause and say, wait, none of those things have ever been injected into human beings before? I guess that makes me the guinea pig, right? That's right. Now, when that gets injected into the body, that lipid coating binds to your cells. And oh, by the way, each one of those shots has about 50 billion, with a B, 50 billion particles of what I just described. In a normal shot, like let's say a flu shot, they inject about 2 billion viruses with the flu shot, which is a lot. But this is 50. they want to make sure this gets into as many cells as possible before it's broken down and degraded by your own body's natural immune system. When that lipid coating binds to your cells and cracks open like an egg, and that messenger protein, that messenger RNA with the recipe on it goes inside of your cells, it goes to the translation factory, which is your ribosomes. So you got this recipe, it goes through the ribosomes, and at the end of the ribosomes, it creates this spike protein. The spike protein then can do four different things inside of your body, at least four. The one thing that it can do is it can float out into your immune system, into your body, and it can attach to any protein in your body, which can be the surface of any one of your organs, your lungs, your liver, your heart, your sperm, and your ovaries, which we'll come back to in a minute to answer your question. The second thing that it can do is that it can cause cardiovascular complications. It can cause arrhythmias. It can directly damage your lungs, and it can punch holes in your blood-brain barrier and change genes and proteins in your brain, which we'll come back to that in a minute too. The spike protein can also then be reincorporated into your DNA, like I already said, which can permanently and irreversibly change your own genetics. And then the fourth thing that it does, and the intention of what they are injecting this to do, is that spike protein is a foreign protein, and your immune system says, hey, what is that doing in here? Let's get rid of it. And your body is stimulated to make an anti-spike antibody. Both the spike protein in and of itself and those antibodies can wreak havoc in your entire system in terms of autoimmune diseases, breaking down your lungs, crossing the blood-brain barrier, and changing genes and proteins in your brain. And yes, to get to the answer of your question, the spike protein can bind to the surface of your sperm and your ovary through what's called the ACE receptor. Now, the ACE receptor is located on almost all the surface of the organs in your body. And the manipulated spike protein, and the one that's manufactured from the messenger RNA, has a very high affinity to those ACE receptors. Binding to that ACE receptor, it's like the protein binding to the ACE receptor is like the key that goes into the lock. It unlocks the ACE receptor. It's like opening the door so the protein can get inside of there and start to replicate and cause more damage. You know, the Pfizer application itself talks about the fact that if men receive this injection, they should not have unprotected sex for at least 6 weeks afterwards. Now, in my opinion, that's because that spike protein can bind to the surface of the sperm. And we have no idea what that's going to do once it gets inside of that sperm. It can change the sperm DNA. It could kill the sperm and lead to lack of motility. It could also be delivered, if you have sex, could be delivered into the vagina, into the uterus. And if that is the sperm that happens to travel upstream and bind with the egg and implant into it, we have no idea what sort of genetic or birth defect problems that could actually happen. They also recommend that women who get one of these shots should absolutely not get pregnant for at least the first 2 months after they've been injected. Why? Because the spike protein can bind to the ovary, and we have no idea what the spike protein and the antibody to the spike protein could possibly do to the reproductive tract. We also know that that antibody can block implantation by blocking an enzyme. So from your perspective of what you said, Steve, about this being a big infertility drug, I think there's a high probability of that. I've read several papers that are quite long that go through and explain all of the mechanisms that I've just mentioned to you. So, you know, the globalists and the depopulation eugenicists, the stated Satanists who are out to destroy the world, are doing it from both ends. They want to kill the old people off at the top. And the numbers coming out of Germany are horrific, of the number of people, and Israel, of the number of people who've received the shot over the age of 65 that are dying. And they also want to take out humanity from the other side of stopping fertility. We've already seen almost a 1,000% increased number of miscarriages in the United States alone since we started routinely giving this injection back in December. We know the VAERS database, the new data should drop tomorrow. But last week, as of, I believe, April the 26th, the CDC VAERS database has already accumulated 2,050 reported deaths and more than 50,000 reported adverse events. And we know the VAERS database, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which is a voluntary reporting system monitored by the FDA. It's been long understood that that captured somewhere around 10% of actual adverse events. So if they've captured 2,000 deaths, that could be 20,000 deaths. And if they've captured 50,000 adverse events, that could be 500,000 adverse events. And about 6% of those adverse events are life-threatening. This is all the way around, Steve. This is exactly, listen, if I can, you know, if a little doctor, osteopathic physician sitting in Cleveland, Ohio can go through the medical literature and can figure this out, and they've had 20 years or more of the top scientists, the top eugenicists, the top anything that anybody that money can buy to put this together, this is well thought out. This is absolutely not a random event. And it's absolutely not just, oh, look at what's happened now that we've made this shot. This is a highly crafted, well-designed genetic modification tool with irreversible complications once people choose to be injected with one of these shots.
And that's, Doug, the power statement that most people cannot even embrace that last sentence or two that Dr. Tenpenny just stated. And here's the other thing, Doctor, that really is troublesome to me. The first story that usually breaks is the truth. Look in 1 year how a bioweapons lab in Wuhan, China, by the way, the one that you most people are aware of is the one that's, you know, well-known and they share stuff with the CDC. My definition of the CDC, in my opinion, Center for Disease Creation. The bottom line is that the amount of data, information, background intelligence, verifiable, highly placed, ex-spies, contemporary intelligence officials, military, they all knew it was a bioweapon, yet they allowed the mainstream press from about maybe 2 months into the whole thing to start changing the narrative, changing the narrative, changing the narrative. And then we obviously didn't even think this thing through as a nation because the Chinese test kits, the Chinese DNA data banks that are being procured. You know, I just had a hit piece done on me by a major news magazine, which is, you know, gee, welcome again to the next world of continuing denial of the truth. And then they just came out today and had a article. I was talking about children's blood, the life is in the blood, and they then saying, well, will young blood keep, is it the fountain of youth, or will it keep us alive forever? Well, ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing. We've turned into a truth-denying, in my opinion, vampire nation, and now we have, in essence, one of the most problematic bioweapons, because the way it was explained to me, Dr. Tenpenny, and I think this is a great thing to ask you, is that with everybody's unique human biome, this thing took into consideration everything that would be called a, you know, Western haplogroup genetic markers. And then it was also articulated, attenuated, and race-specific bioweapons have been on the, you know, in public. You can go search out Project Coast from the late 80s, and they were talking about race-specific bioweapons or genetic marker or haplogroup bioweapons. Now we see in Brazil, we see, you know, unique strains. We're seeing in India, double unique strains, and everybody's trying to say, oh, this is just a variant of CV19. Well, you know, they're selling us on a vaccine that only works, that doesn't work at all, but even with the polyethylene glycol, we're seeing, in my opinion, one of the most profoundly, supernaturally evil bioweapons ever developed. And I believe, and I'm serious about this, the, if you will, the all inclusion of every human being's, what would you say, targeted uniqueness is being integrated into this weapon. So watching, you know, I remember watching, as everybody saw, that the Chinese were building this hospital in a week or something. But talking to the people overseas in Asia, they were saying, Steve, the crematorium ovens were ordered in the Philippines, and they were ordered 500 at a time, and they could go process so many thousand people a day. We're talking about millions and millions and millions of lives lost, and yet still ridiculous numbers associated to China by comparison to the United States. Everything, too, and this is what I wanted you to respond to, if you would, everything and anyone who died of anything, anything that was a factor, was listed as CV-19. So as you saw the denigration of what I would call source information or source intel and the twisting of it, what was that saying to you as you were watching that in real time? You know, I mean, could you believe that the American public, and maybe could, you know, that they would buy such an obvious role or obvious manifestation of propaganda on almost an agreement level? We're talking about going to war with China, but yet China's already launched the first shot, and it's asymmetric warfare. How do you put that into the context of biowarfare, if you will, the first shot fired in World War III that's had a disastrous effects in the United States of America and still does?
Well, mainstream media has control of the American mind. You know, people, you know, we saw that back through the election process. We saw what was happening in the complete division of the country, and the mainstream media absolutely relentlessly going after conservatives, Christians, anybody that was a pro-Trump person, just relentlessly ripping them apart and separating us into two camps. The Trump haters and the people that they tried to continually do that, and they weren't even, didn't even become Biden supporters. They were just Trump haters. And so people who have learned to glue themselves to CNN, MSNBC, the mainstream media, and genuflect to the news that comes out of there as this is truly their gods with little g's, right? The little g gods. Now they absorb that information as absolute truth. They allowed the spirit of fear to be buried into their mindset and their brains through these little gods, little g gods of people that they trusted with impunity and never bothered to fact check anything they said, right? And so now we've got this divided population in America of people that are still so fearful. And Steve, I hear it every day of people telling me people are so afraid. And I'm like, afraid of what? What are they so afraid of? We have documented proof now. The death rate from this virus is 1%. We have documented proof that they put COVID on every diagnostic code. And actually, the papers came out from the CDC in March of last year directing doctors to put COVID as a diagnosis for everything. We physicians have jokingly laughed about the fact, did you notice that COVID has cured everything? You know, we no longer die from heart disease, from strokes, from cancer, from old age, from pneumonia, gunshot wounds to the head, car accidents. Everybody dies of COVID. Why? To keep the narrative going, keep the numbers up. And early on in the state of Ohio, where I am, I'm located just outside of Cleveland, Ohio, if you put COVID on a death certificate through that first $30 billion stimulus that came out, hospital systems were getting $180,000 per COVID diagnosis. Now, Ohio has about 9 million people. We have five major metropolitan areas. You can only imagine how many hospitals are sprinkled across the state of Ohio. A lot. Well, they've dropped that number down now. They don't get $180,000. They still get about $50,000 per COVID diagnosis. So you can't die of anything else. And so we'll never know the truth about the numbers. The numbers were intentionally skewed to propagate the message. we were intentionally put into this spirit of fear that people need. We need to have a national exorcism, Steve. We just need a national exorcism to get the spirit of fear out of everybody's brains and hearts and souls and get it out of their frickin' living room. And so it's all about propaganda. We are living in the Ministry of Truth 1984. Everything that that they say is assumed to be true, and everything that doesn't go lockstep with what they say is assumed to be false because people have sucked it in lock, stock, and barrel. It really is disturbing to me when I continue to hear all these people say, oh, everybody I know is getting the shot because they're so afraid. Or I see all of these people everywhere wearing these stupid masks, that the only thing the mask is doing is making the person who's wearing the mask sick and admitting that they are willing to be subjugated and put under the foot of these tyrannical monsters. I mean, because it does nothing, does nothing. So putting that into context in rate of your question, it's because we have tossed God out on his ear. You know, we took God out of the prayer out of schools. We took prayer out, you know, we've got the abortion industry that's going crazy. Now we want to vaccinate more and more children that don't even get this infection. And I just feel that we're kind of, it's an all out assault on children. And it's because we've taken God and said, please, we don't need you anymore. Please, like, get out of the country. Get out of our way. We are going to go with the BioLogos crowd. We're going to go with scientism. And we're going to try to convince people that the Bible can fit into science and scientism rather than standing on the Word of God and putting our faith and trust and our health in the Lord Jesus and in the Word of God rather than in some pharmaceutical product that designed by the very same people who want to kill you and want to depopulate the planet. We're going to trust that shot over what we're going to trust our belief in God.
Steve, if I can jump in here. All right. Doctor, perhaps a more academic question here, a more basic question. But I know people have asked this and wanted me to ask you this. The genetic modification tool known as the vaccine or called a vaccine, which is a non-vaccine. You had mentioned earlier about the, sexual contact state, you know, have none for a period of time. Does a person who receives this jab present a greater risk to those who have not? In other words, is something shed without respect to the sexual contact?
You know, the three most prominent or most prevalent, the three most common questions that I get by the thousands, and I'm not exaggerating, the three most common questions that come up in everybody's mind, number one, do any of these shots shed? And I'll come back to that in a second to answer your question. The second thing is, what about the blood supply? You know, now that people are going to be injected with these spike proteins that, you know, is that going to contaminate the blood supply? Now, suddenly people have got this massive interest in the blood supply, which, quite frankly, they should have had a massive interest in it all along. I mean, if you go to the American Heart Association and see how few things they actually screen for, it's frightening. You know, so, but the big thing is, what about the contamination of the blood supply? And the third is about the infertility thing. So let's take each one of those apart. You know, the thing about the shedding, we don't know. And each one of those things, the bottom line answer to all three of those is, really, we don't know. There's no long-term studies. We are in the middle of the long-term study right now. Everybody that's participating in this is part of the stage 3, stage 4 clinical trials right now. They'll crunch the data 3 months, 6 months, a year from now and start doing a retrospective analysis on the number of horrifying side effects that we're already seeing. And because we're doing the clinical trials right now. So the first thing about is, what about the shedding? I don't think, this is my personal opinion, but I don't see any evidence that the Pfizer or the Moderna shot shed. Why is that? Because what we're injecting is a piece of genetic material that almost immediately is run through the ribosome factory to make the protein, and that is incorporated into your cellular properties. Now, the Pfizer shot, they talked about the infertility because the spike protein can bind to the ovaries and the sperm. So can it be shed through intercourse? Not in the way that people generally define shedding. The whole idea of shedding came from a lot of discussions that we've had, and I really credit people for at least thinking about it, of the live virus vaccines that are administered in the pediatric schedule. The live virus vaccines are rubella, they are oral polio, oral rotavirus, chickenpox, and shingles. Because people who can get a shingles shot because it's a live virus can literally shed that virus and have other people contract what looks like chickenpox. The chickenpox shot is live virus. People, we know up to 3% of kids that get a chickenpox shot can shed the live virus that can go on and cause chickenpox in their siblings. That's why if you've got a child in the house that's undergoing chemotherapy, they do not recommend the other siblings get a chickenpox shot. So the idea of shedding comes from that. Comes from live virus injections of the other shots that we've been administering for a long time. So shedding of this particular shot, the Pfizer and the Moderna, because of the way that it is created and it injects the messenger RNA into your cells, I don't think that that's not going to shed in the traditional way that they think about shedding. Now, the AstraZeneca shot, and the Johnson & Johnson shot, those are made from a completely different mechanism of the way that I described the first two. Both the J&J and the AstraZeneca shot, they take an adenovirus, a typical virus that causes common colds, and they gut out the genetic material on the inside of that adenovirus, and instead they put something inside of it called a transgene. The transgene is a short little snip of DNA that gets delivered into your cells and immediately gets either incorporated into your own DNA or gets translated into the messenger RNA, which then creates the protein, which then creates the antibody. Oh, and that's such an exact process, Steve. I mean, we can tell you exactly which chromosome that's going to go in and set into. There's this whole process called insertional mutagenesis, which means that as that little snip of DNA gets crammed into your own DNA in random places, that insertional mutagenesis can cause disruptions of your chromosomes and can lead to cancer. The translation of that little transgene out in your cytosol can be mistranslated and can lead to cancer. Now, because that little transgene is inside of an adenovirus particle, there is the possibility that I think the J&J shot and the AstraZeneca shot, you may be able to shed that in the normal way we think about shedding, because if you get that shot and it's in your nose and your nasal passages in your mouth and you sneeze or cough, it's an adenovirus. And if the adenovirus hasn't bound to your cells yet, that adenovirus, I think, can be spread. Now, maybe that's the intention. I don't know. But those are the two processes from a scientific perspective about shedding. The second part about the blood supply, like I said, if you go out to the American Heart Association and you see what they screen the blood supply for currently and have for decades, they look for hepatitis B, hepatitis C, HIV, a couple of other pathogen types of pathogens that can spread, and that's pretty much it. They never look for antibodies to shingles shots or measles shots, or they don't look for antigens or for side effects or for any of the adjuvants that we have, the chemicals that we've injected into people from these shots. They don't look for anything else. But now everybody's brain is like, well, is this going to contaminate our blood supply? Quite frankly, in my opinion, it will. Because our blood supply has always had contaminants in it, and this is going to be even worse. And do you think for 1 minute they're going to screen for that protein or the antibody because they don't want to pass it on? Not really. And then the third thing about infertility we've already discussed, that there is they talk about it pretty freely in the medical literature, that this is a high-risk possibility, but remember, we haven't really been using these shots that long, only since about December in the U.S. and back maybe August in the U.K. And quite frankly, they're already starting to see some infertility drops, but we haven't gone 9 months or 18 months or 2 years to see about people wanting to have sex and have babies and to see if the fertility rate is actually going to drop. We can just look at it from a scientific perspective. So those three questions I get all the time, and I hope that we've been able to adequately cover them here.
Thank you. And one thing I'd like to just mention this. To me, this is anecdotal evidence. Myself as an investigator looking at different, watching different message boards of people who received these various injections, regardless of the, pharmaceutical company. More recently, over the last several days, I've seen a lot of women of childbearing age say that they have, that they have gotten the injection and suddenly had a sudden onset of their menstrual cycle, menstrual period, or have, blood much, much more and had much, been in more distress. I don't know how else to describe that tactfully. Just as an FYI. Just saying.
I think it's true. And like I said, we've had over, I believe the number was greater than 6,000% increase in miscarriages since we've started this. It's horrifying to me. I don't know what other language to use other than, you know, Steve, January of 2020, I've done over 435 interviews. And normally I do about 30 to 35 interviews per year. So in, 16 months, I've done like 435 interviews. They've been posted everywhere. They've been in small podcasts, large audience like what you've had. You know, the Lord just laid it on my heart to sow as many seeds as possible. So I did. And I'm not the only one. You know, Dr. Dolores Cahill, Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, Dr. Rashid Buttar, Dr. Carrie Madej, Dr. Larry Pilevsky. You know, we are sort of like the frontline doctors on this vaccine topic. You know, Dr. Simone Gold, I mean, she came forward with the frontline doctors, but that's more about hydroxychloroquine. And, you know, Dr. Peter Corey, you know, is talking about, you know, ivermectin. So there have been a handful of the more than 1 million doctors in this country who have stood up for people, have decided to get educated, and the rest of them, they're just lame. You know, I'm sorry, that's just my opinion. They're just lame. And they're trying to promote people to get this shot. They don't know what they're doing. They're not willing to look at the evidence. They're doing pro-propaganda perpetuation of what the pharmaceutical industry wants to get into us. And it really gets me upset. And so, but we have put out tons of information. And if people aren't willing to look outside of MSNBC and CNN to find that there are great, grave risks to themselves, to their future generations, then I'm not sure what else we could have done.
I want to address that because I think that's the critical state. Jesus said, and this is really important, Doug, because we have a large segment of your audience, our audience, our combined audiences, our believers. But if he didn't shorten the days for the elect's sake, there would be no flesh left alive. And the war on the human genome that started in Genesis 6, you know, the fallen angels, the whole design, the earth was corrupt. Noah and his family were the only perfect genetic stock. But when you see now even the, if you will, the desire of the transhumanists is to kill off. And that's truly, when you hear replacement, when you hear H+, when you hear singularity, their whole goal is to replace the human race. Well, I happen to be a human. People say, are you a racist, Steve? I said, yes, I'm a human racist. I believe in the human race. No categories, no colors. But what's so obvious to me, and I believe truth died in the pulpits in America. I believe the greatest cowards in history are those who basically, by their lack of action or teaching, the people who are their congregants, let's call them whatever church members, whatever, truth died in the pulpit. And now, ladies and gentlemen, everybody feasts on the fountain of lies of the MSM. We all have heard the, how many corporations control all the news outlets. But remember, I think, what is it? Somebody said the most dangerous thing in the world is to be right when the government's wrong. I may have been one of the Supreme Court justices or something years ago. But what we're fighting for, and this is, I think, Dr. Tenpenny, what you guys are doing, you physicians, God bless you all. I can't reach out and hug you all, but I would. And I don't do it wearing a face diaper, dance of the 17,000 ignorant non-medical reasons to wear a veil over your face. The thing is that we're at this point now where it truly is a spiritual issue. It is a spiritual issue. The fact that people want to be, they have vaccine parties. I know men who have left their wives who have left their husbands because they're more concerned with, have you gotten your vaccine? Have you gotten your vaccine? You know, it was the former director of the CIA, and people just don't have any understanding of history anymore, in my opinion. You know, from a certain age, let's say 40 under, I don't think they realize what got all of us here. But the point is, Bill Casey said, former director of CIA, will know our mind control procedures have been effective when everything the American people believe is a lie. And unfortunately, in my opinion, and again, don't get mad at anybody, Doug, Dr. Tenpenny, but in my opinion, the idea of people basically rolling over on their bellies to be, and I'll say this, intellectually, your brain gets sucked out and your heart gets torn out because people can no longer think. And I think it's why tell a lie, tell a big enough lie, tell it over and over again, and you only have to tell a couple lies. And now we're seeing vaccine passports, and I say this, we are at, and what's ironic, we in the United States are coming to our yellow star moment. Anybody who doesn't take the vaccine, the passport from hell, one-way ticket to hell, these are my opinions. The bottom line is that we're being segregated out and identified, vilified, nullified, ultimately to be destroyed. We just watched Israel go under a state, in my terms, Mengele madness, and I'll let you address that. If anybody understands, the history of Dr. Joseph Mengele and all the experimentations that he did on living human beings, you'd understand why for Israel to have embraced what they have embraced is madness and deception on a level that exceeds the Third Reich. Will you want to address that?
Oh, totally. I mean, when I first started hearing this was happening, it's like, who signed off on that? Who was the human being who put their signature on that thing to sign off to put the Jewish people of all people on the entire planet as a collective group, put them back? We had the Nuremberg Code trials. We had the Nuremberg Codes. We had the Nuremberg trials. We had all of those things because of what ostensibly was done to the Jews in Auschwitz and all of those camps. We set up all of these things about human experimentation and people have to get informed consent. They have to be told exactly what was going to happen to them. And yet we've taken this totally fraudulent, completely experimental product and unleashed it on the Jewish people, of all people. First of all, who signed off on it? And second of all, why did the Jewish people just roll up their sleeve and do it? I mean, how many, we continue to hear, Steve, forever. We will never forget. We will never forget what happened to the Jewish people under the Nazis. We will never forget. And they just did it. It's just astonishing to me.
I would say this, it's hellishly cynical. Because the pharmaceutical companies, you know, after World War II, they just didn't disband. They just came to the United States under Operation Paperclip. It's my contention, as I know you've heard me speak, and Doug, you know, you and I've done shows over the years on this, that the Nazis really did win World War II. That's a lie to say they lost. So now we have a situation, ladies and gentlemen, forget eugenics. Let's call it hyper eugenics. And I believe that's the mocking of humanity. I'm still under the belief that the devil has to tell the humans what he's going to do. And he does it because he's so proud and arrogant at how stupid we are. You know, here's a Joseph Goebbels statement, you know, from the Third Reich. You can't change the masses. They will always be the same, dumb, gluttonous, and forgetful. When it comes to I'm not saying that that guy was right. He's a sick puppy. But they're doing the same thing that the Nazis did because they divorce us from our real history. The Constitution, if you're a constitutionalist, you're one of 72 groups that is going to face termination. If you're a homeschooler, if you're a Christian, and I'm surprised. You can look at Israel, then you look at the churches. And one of my chief, here's why I don't get asked to speak at him, I wouldn't anyway, but the bottom line is, when you have two of the most prominent evangelical mouthpieces or personas, Focus on the Family and Billy Graham's son, making a statement, well, Jesus would take the vaccine. My statement to that was, the Bible says Jesus went about healing all who were sick. And all. To make that statement was the most, I would say this, it takes a lot to rattle me, believe it or not, and that rattled me simply because does he not know the word of God enough to know? The same people that want to destroy him as his father's son or Focus on the Family, how about Focus on Jesus for once in a while? And, oh, that would be different. The bottom line is that we're at this point now, Dr. Tenpenny and Doug, where we are cooperating. We're walking mindlessly into the camps. How many times we said, well, I'd never let that happen. Why didn't they do this? Why didn't they see? All I can say is we are a nation given over to the most, I guess you'd call it end time deception that has ever been or ever will be. Jesus said there's never been a time like it nor would be again. So Dr. Tenpenny, I thank God for all of you doctors. And 20 years ago, this is important. I said the powers that be, when they initiate their global plan, not famine, that's a different story, but global plan to basically eradicate the human race. I was talking about a higher form of killing, obviously, by injection, you know. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching it in real time, but we're cooperating in real time. And we've watched everything we knew as this country stolen. And now what makes me the craziest, and I'm sure it upsets you too, and Doug, I know it upsets you, is they're stealing our lives, our children, our grandchildren, our heritage, and most importantly, our faith. And is none of that worth fighting for? And I got to tell you, there's a lot of, how should I say this? There is a lot of, I just want to go along to get along. And I can tell you that, it probably the doorway over hell when people enter there is that, well, you just went along to get along and here's where you go. Because again, the idea of cooperating and doctor, this is 7.4 billion people they're planning to extinct, to exterminate. So amongst this, and now we're dealing with all the other issues. So just as you, and obviously you're outspoken, your faith, God bless you. The thing that's incredible is that people can't put this into, and obviously as a physician, isn't it amazing that even Christians I would guess there are Christians that can't even understand what you're talking about.
It is. And I'll tell you, I'm not sure you're probably familiar with, but in case you're not, or maybe some of your audience isn't, there's a website that's called stateoftheology.com. Are you familiar with that, Steve?
No.
Or Doug? No, stateoftheology.com, I think I'm going to do a very long piece on this shortly. But stateoftheology.com, they do these surveys of pastors, Bible, pastors that stand in the pulpit on Sunday morning and preach to their flock. And there's a series of 36 questions they've asked, and they do this about every 2 to 3 years, and they started, I believe, in 2015. I want to read you just two of these 36 questions and the respondents, because to me, what is said in the response of these questions says it all about the state of Christianity in America. One of the questions was, they were to respond and agree, not sure, or disagree. One of the questions is, Jesus was a great teacher, but he was not God. 51% of pastors agree with that statement. 51. And only 27% disagreed. So Jesus was a great teacher, but he was not God. 51% said, that's true. He was just a great teacher. Another statement that I think was really super important is about the Bible. And they ask one of the questions is the Bible, like all sacred writings, contains helpful accounts of ancient myths, but is not literally true. And 48% of pastors agreed with that statement, that it was just a great sacred writing full of myths, but not literally true. 48%. And there's 36 other questions there, and it's a really well done website. I mean, in terms of parsing the data and sort of like looking at all these different things. But to me, that was horrifying. And I have a really good friend who just, you know, in the last year, when the church is starting to close, he and his wife said, well, we're going to go interview some pastors and we're going to go to a different church. They interviewed like 7 or 8 pastors and finally decided on the church where we are now in Olmsted Falls Bible Church, which has always been open since the 1st of May. We don't wear masks. You wear one if you want to, but you don't have to. You don't social distance. You sing, you hug, you shake hands, and all the things that you're supposed to do with fellow believers, right? And I asked my friend Anthony, he's a dentist. I said, so what happened in those interviews with those pastors? He said, Sherry, quite frankly, I don't even believe they're Christians. Because I would ask them things like, in your church, how do you talk about and how do you discuss the gospel, the real gospel of Jesus Christ, and what is that all about? And they're like, and he said, the one guy said to him, I'm not sure. I don't really think I understand the question. And this was a pastor who said, I don't think I understand the question. So to me, what I said a bit ago about we kick God out of schools, we kick God out of churches now, because now we'll close churches, not allow believers to congregate, pray, sing, and worship, but we'll open the doors and make them be vaccination centers. So you can't stop by on Sunday and go to church and praise God, but you can stop by there on Monday and get your shot. I think that is just, I mean, I can't even imagine why we haven't already seen, you know, fire and brimstone, the state of Sodom and Gomorrah, God's fury on this country yet. I guess it's the remnants that's here. Those of us, that's what I pray for, you know, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday night, I do an online Bible study. It's called Happy Hour with Dr. T. It's on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday night. It's on, right now it's on Instagram. We get together, we share a beverage, we chat a little bit, we share a word of God, we have a Bible study about it, and then we pray together. And I started it because I wanted to start someplace that was happy. And before we started it in June of last year, so it's coming up on a year that I've been doing this. And it's really a great gathering of people that we get together. But during the period of time from June up until basically the inauguration, we spent a lot of time praying for our country and standing on 2 Chronicles 7:14 and all the different things that we did. I don't do that so much anymore. I mean, I feel like our country is kind of past the point of no return, because I feel like if Trump would have gotten elected, even the Christians would have gone, phew, we've dodged that bullet and gone right back to their sinful ways. But now we have to, God has criteria. If my people called by my name, not everybody, just even his people, will humble themselves and pray, turn from their evil ways, then he hears them from heaven, forgives their sins, and then the very last thing is heal their land. Well, now what we do in our prayers is we pray for the remnant. We pray for those that are his people. We pray for those that are trying to maintain away from these injections, maintain their spirituality, find churches that are open that they can go and attend. And it doesn't matter what the denomination are. You are commanded to be with like-minded people and to pray together. And so I think it's, except for, like what you said, Steve, except for the days be shortened, you know, but we pray for those who are still under his flock and leaning into God. And the rest of them, I guess they have to find their own way.
It's obvious to me, you know, the scripture says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? When I got saved, Sherry, almost for Dr. Sherry, well, you gave me your permission to call you that. I'm sorry.
You betcha. I was Sherry long before I was Dr. Anybody.
Okay. And I obviously want to honor you, but, you know, we instantly talked on the phone and became just familiar with just the spirit in each other. And it's God's spirit. But I think the thing that people have got to understand now, when the scripture says, woe unto the nation that forgets God. We are the nation that has forgotten God. Yes, America voted. They marched. They had rallies, political rallies, did everything, but they didn't repent. And I know the history of the church. When I got saved 50 years ago, coming up, Jimmy and Carol Owens had a movement across the country. It was called If My People. I came out of the Jesus movement. The whole country at that point was during the Jesus movement and took that 2 Chronicles 7:14 obviously very seriously. But now, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot allow foreign idols, whether it's the god Anubis from a G, and I say little g, whether it's the Mayan crystal skull. We have embraced so much occultism, and now the supernatural evil is manifesting in the absence of what once held back the evil. And that was a praying, believing, God-worshiping people, acknowledging him as a source of all blessing. And now we're the pharmaceutical, we're the sorcery capital of the world. We are. Sorcery, pharmakia, however you pronounce it. The bottom line is. And we are to the point now, ladies and gentlemen, where, and as I'm listening to Dr. Sherry, I got an emergency alert just here, and I'll share it with you. Russia has just broken off diplomatic relationships with the United States. Not in one newspaper are the American people being told of what's going on behind the scenes between Russia trying to defuse the situation. By the way, I'm not pro-Russia, but the contemporary Democrats and the Republican lackeys are seemingly wanting to go to war with Russia. So God specifically has his hand upon his people, the remnant. And I remember, Dr. Sherry, years ago, the Lord said, pray not for your land. It has chosen to reject me. Well, some people say that I'm a heretic. I'm said a heretic? I'm testifying of Jesus. I'm telling people that they need to repent and get saved. But somehow, quoting the word of God, God's love. Well, he's also perfectly just, faithful, and true. And behold, he says he's the Lord, our God, that changes not. So I think, Doug, the really important issue that Dr. Sherry's bringing up right now is on a national level, we are where we're at. And I believe the United States, and I'm saying this, there is no turning around. It's too late. God gave us mercy. It doesn't mean for individuals. Doesn't mean for the remnant, okay? I'm on record as saying God will protect his people. He says he's with us even unto the end of the age, even though they want to accelerate. And I want to remind everybody that Democrats openly made war on God, and the Republicans kept silent. They absolutely said you have no place in our platform. Just a couple weeks ago, even Pelosi echoed that, and so did Nadler. So here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, who's going to fight our battles? The United States military is now dividing itself. It's doing the same thing. God has divided the nation. Isn't it interesting, Dr. Sherry, that the numbers you see are almost 50-50? And again, you have a Bible study. You have, people that really love God. And you also have this part of the country that knows something's wrong. And I maintain, unless they know Jesus, they have no foundation of truth. Go ahead.
Oh, I agree. I agree with everything that you've said. I mean, if we, people have to understand that they are allowing themselves to be deceived. I meant it seriously, Steve, when I said that we need a national exorcism. We need to bring people together to get the spirit of fear cast out of them. I mean, they allowed that in early on in all of this COVID stuff. I remember somebody sent me a meme that was so good that I've used it repeatedly over all this time. It said, stop spewing coronavirus. Turn off your television. And I just thought that was so true, because the spirit of fear, and so I gave a talk to a community talk the other night. on this whole thing. We went through the 20 mechanisms of injury caused by these shots. We talked an awful lot about God. It was a very much, mega group. I was, based at a church. I thought there were going to be about 400 people there. There were over 1,200 people that showed up. And they turned more than, and at the where you turn down this path to go to this, it was a private facility, to turn to the facility, they turned more than 100 cars away. And so it was just pretty amazing. And what we were talking about was the fact that people are so willing to just give up everything for this experimental product that's going to be injected in and permanently change their life. And I think that, and I said to them, I said, you know, all this stuff about the spirit of fear, when you, because everybody says it over and over again, everybody I know, I look around, everybody I know is getting this shot. And I said, so ask them why. Well, they're afraid. Afraid of what? Well, afraid of dying. Well, the fact that we've got a 1% death rate doesn't seem to resonate with them. So ask them the next question. Why are you afraid to die? And it's going to be one of two things. Either they don't know the Lord Jesus and they're not saved, or they think they're saved and they're really not sure that they're forgiven and they're afraid of the judgment. I said, so use that fear. Let's turn it around on people and use it for an opportunity to share the gospel of Christ with them and say, listen, if you have this and you know the facts that less than 1% of people die, 99% of people recover, The statistics about COVID have all been distorted and you've been lied to. You're being forced to get an experimental product with no long-term studies that's going to irreversibly change your genetics. And if you want children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, you get the shot, you're probably not going to have them. So let's really talk about where the real fear should be lying. It should be lying with this pharmaceutical-based product that's trying to kill you. Not the fact that you might get sick for a little while and have a 99% chance of recovery, and use it as an opportunity to share the gospel of Christ with them. And I got a standing ovation when they said that, because it's really true. It's where, you know, we're in those final days, in my opinion, or at least we're in the final days of this particular period of time. We don't know what God has in store for us. We don't know how long this is going to go on. But at this point in time, we're kind of in the final days of what's happening. So I kind of look at myself as like, you know, I use this expression, and Steve, I'm sure you're familiar with it, but said that Noah was a conspiracy theorist too until it started to rain.
Right.
Well, it's raining and the boat's lifting and the back end of the boat's starting to come shut. And so through your broadcast and through my Bible study and all the talks that I'm doing, and I spent a lot of time talking to Scott Kesterson on Bards FM. That is a huge outreach ministry for the Lord. I mean, every single day he does 5 podcasts a day, and he prefaces it with great prayer, and is just the, you know, great soul food for millions and millions of people. You know, I feel like our job, and others that I'm just not naming, but other people who are like, I feel like we're trying to like pull as many people into the boat as we possibly can, because we're headed for some very challenging times.
Where do you think it goes from here, Dr. Timpany? I mean, where do you think, I'm getting information, and I've shared it on Doug's show and on my own podcast about the Ebola that's already being, you know, monitored. You know, I just got to tell you, the thing is that if we're watching the depopulation agenda kick into high gear and CV-19 and its variants haven't had the desired effect of bringing the country to its knees in their eyes, 100% compliance or whatever percent compliance, how do you see that fitting in possibly?
Well, two parts of that. Number one is Ebola is not really as scary as what the television would make it seem. You know, because we always get to see worst case scenario, people bleeding out, blah, 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 blah. And again, it's the fear factor, right? It's the 2.1 billion messages. How many times do we see that picture over and over and over and over again of the person walking through what looked like a mall next to like a passing runway, keeled over? And we said, oh, look at, they're just dropping over dead like flies in China, and put that on. Do we even know? I mean, did the person just have a syncopal episode? I mean, did they just, you know, were they, because they couldn't breathe, they passed out from lack of oxygen? Do we even know that they died? But man, everybody assumed that that's what's going to happen in America. People are going to drop over dead like flies. So when we think about Ebola, Ebola is a very, very heavy virus, very heavy. In fact, if you ever spoke to Dr. Judy Mikovits about it, she worked in the level 4 lab that was responsible for weaponizing it. And so she can tell you lots of things about Ebola. It's not going to spread from person to person to person like influenza or measles is going to do. But they're planting those fear factor seeds. So we'll get the Ebola shot. You know, Steve, I was at the CDC in February at one of their conferences, just February of last year when this was just kicking up. I thought the whole conference was going to be talking about, you know, coronavirus and coronavirus shots and all of these things. You know what the entire 2 days was about? Ebola vaccines. And them rewriting the criteria saying that we could give Ebola vaccines to pregnant women. Now, this was February of 2020. Wow. So they've already laid the background for that. But it's not, but they're doing it with a fear factor of how horrifying this next round of bioweapon is going to be to get you to be compliant. Well, I think that there's a step ahead of that that's going to make it be even worse. Quite frankly, I think that come this fall, August, September of 2021, when they start the huge big push that everybody needs to get a flu shot because the flu season this year is going to be so bad, and that coronavirus shot that you got doesn't cover influenza, so you got to get that. You got to get a flu shot. In my opinion, and I'm not the only one, there are multiple ones of us who've said the same thing, that flu shot is what's going to trigger the acceleration of the deaths and the neurological pathways. And I want to talk a little bit more in a few minutes about the autoimmune diseases and particularly about the neurological complications from these shots. And we're going to start to see this thing through antibody-dependent enhancement. That means because the flu shots have coronaviruses in them. They are raised in dogs. Chickens have coronaviruses. So now you've got the, excuse me, you've got the body already primed with this shot that you introduce those coronaviruses, that re-exposure, people's bodies are going to go on fire with autoimmune diseases, cytokine storms. It's going to break down their lung tissue. They're going to present to emergency departments and hospitals like with coughing up blood, or they're going to be described as either pulmonary, they're going to be diagnosed as either pulmonary embolism, pneumonia, or a new mutant virus that's causing all of this because the doctors that spend no time at all reviewing this material will not make the connection between the shots that people got. They won't even ask them if their history includes a shot. You can almost guarantee that. And now they're getting re-exposed to coronaviruses, either out in circulation, because up to 20% of influenza-like illness every single year is caused by 4 garden-variety coronaviruses. So now you've got the spike protein and the anti-spike antibody inside of your system. You get exposed to coronaviruses, either endemic out in the circulation or through a flu shot. Those bodies are going to be on fire. And doctors are not going to make the connections because they're lazy. And if any doctors are listening to this, well, I apologize if I offended you, but stop being so lazy. You know, start learning about what this is about. Okay, and start knowing what's going to happen to your patients and you who bowed to the pharmacy and ran to the front of the line to get your shots. And so I think this fall, it's going to be pretty bad. And the other thing is so I think that before we see a secondary bioweapon, before we see Ebola, before we see anything else that they may have contrived or have up their sleeves like Zika or whatever, they've got one more lever to pull. And it's the flu shots this fall that, and people are already so used, they think going and getting this COVID shot, I always get a flu shot. This is just like getting a flu shot. No, it's not. And I think that that's the next step that the powers that be at the top of the totem pole, the We Forum people and the Gates handlers and all of those people, they've got one more lever to pull, and that's going to come August or September with the flu shot. Because I think that's where I think we're going to go next.
Doctor, if I can just ask this to add on to that, would that also apply to exposure to the flu in addition to the flu shot? Let's say someone gets the jab and then is exposed to the flu. Is that the same thing, or would the flu shot be required, so to speak, in your scenario?
The flu shot's going to be the one that's required. It's not the influenza viruses. And flu shots, historically, I did an analysis on 20 years of CDC data. So think about this pre-COVID. So 20 years of flu shot data. Because one of the things our government's really good at is data entry. You know, they're really good at that. All those little people sitting around data entering all those numbers in. We got a lot of those, and they do a lot of that. And so every year, there are about 120 testing stations across the United States to test people for influenza. Now, this is pre-COVID, okay? So this was 2019 and before. And so when people would have what seemed to be like the flu, you know, body aches, cough, fever, and they would go into one of these testing stations, they would do a nasal swab and a sputum swab, and they would send it off to the CDC for it to be tested. Because what they were, and when it would go to be tested, the first stage of that step is when they test it, are you sick from an influenza virus or something else? Coronavirus, hantavirus, adenovirus, something else. So the first step in this testing of those swabs, and they do about 600,000 of those swabs per year, is the first part of the algorithm. Is your illness caused by influenza or not? That first step, about 15% of illness that happens during the winter time of people who get what they call the flu, only 15% of that illness is actually caused by influenza viruses. So that means if you believe a flu shot works at all to keep you from getting sick, it's only going to work 15% of the time. Then when they take those divisions and that 15% of those swabs are positive for influenza, then they sub-serotype it, and that's where those numbers come out that we hear on the news about saying it's a match, it's a 35% match or a 15% match or whatever. All of those specimens that come in, the viruses in those specimens need to match the viruses that are in the influenza shot in order for that shot to keep you from getting sick. And if the match is only 15% of the time, then that means the flu shots will protect you 15% of 15% of the time. So for the most part, flu shots never do anything, ever. And then there's this concept, Steve, I think you might be interested in this too, this concept of original antigenic sin. Is that a topic you've heard before?
No, I haven't, provoked my curiosity.
I thought you'd like that. So there's this concept in immunology. It's called original antigenic sin, and it really applies very much to the coronavirus right now. And how that works is the very first time that you get sick by a virus, whether it's a flu virus, a coronavirus, an adenovirus, the very first time you get that, even if it's in your childhood, your body's immune system builds a response to that original virus, and it creates an antibody that's an exact match to that original virus. That's the original exposure. Now, in the future, if you're ever exposed to, say, the coronavirus again, your body spits out a little antibody to neutralize it. But if it's a different coronavirus, because there's four common coronaviruses, if it's a different one, it spits out that little bit of antibody, but it doesn't really neutralize it. It's a non-neutralizing antibody. And therefore, that second type of coronavirus, because it would neutralize type one, but it won't neutralize type two, that can go on and cause a very severe illness because your body's immune response is keyed to what they call the original antigenic sin, the first time that they saw it. The second time, it doesn't count. So now we've got coronavirus out in circulation with this genetically manipulated in a laboratory spike antibody. So we've almost all been exposed to coronavirus illness somewhere time in our life. Remember, there's four common coronaviruses that cause up to 20% of illness every single winter worldwide. So the older you get, the more likely it is you've been exposed to one of those coronaviruses and had what you would say, tell your neighbors or your family, yeah, I had the flu last week. Well, 15% of the time it's going to be influenza viruses, 20% of the time it's going to be coronaviruses, and the rest of the time it's going to be something else. So you've been exposed, the older you get, the more you've been exposed to coronavirus illness. Now you get exposed to genetically manipulated coronavirus that is why people don't have a normal response to it and why you can still get sick, because that original antigenic sin will cause the antibody to type A, but not to coronavirus that's manipulated in a lab. Now you start injecting spike proteins that go with the genetically manipulated one in the lab, you're really messing with people's immune systems. So they actually even lose their genetic protection from garden variety coronaviruses that they might be exposed to during the winter. Steve, it is the worst possible type of genetic manipulation. It's one more thing on my long list of ways that this shot can hurt you, is it's really destroying your own God-given innate immune system to protect you from garden variety infection.
Well, it's like shot in the arm, shot in the head. Either way, you end up dead.
Exactly.
It's like, it's like 31 flavors of death. Or let's call it, 66 flavors of death. Because again, you know, what Doug is got to be obvious to all of your viewers listening to Dr. Tenpenny is that everything you talk about day in and day out with all the various guests you have are still leading to one conclusion, no matter who it is pretty much, is the fact that this is the end game. This is the end push. This is the rush to install globalism. The global reset, just I'll make it real simple for everybody, that's the New World Order. And the New World Order has not gone away. Klaus Schwab and all these people are becoming more adamant that the people that stand in their way must be destroyed. Anybody who doesn't take a vaccine must go into the camp. The camps are where they cut your heads off. I'm sorry, that's true. Different people over the years, you've listened to me, Dr. Tenpenny, you know, a lot of people, like they contact you, they contact me and they say, hey, I used to be a blank, blank, blank general in this and real ones, or I used to be an agent for a three-letter agent, but you need to know this. And always different sources, different places, but the same data. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we're not looking forward. You know, here's the problem. People who denied reading the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation says this book, it will be a blessing if you read it. They're about to see it played out before their eyes and are already. And there's never been a more dangerous time in history. They've said that every year for the past 100 years maybe. But no, now we have a higher form of killing. And even nuclear weapons, and I used to write books on this stuff 2 years ago, but the bottom line, decades ago, the bottom line was is that there's nothing as effective as a genetically altered bioweapon. And with the progress we've made through PCR, and whether you like it or hate it, that enabled the replication of bioweapons on a level that you couldn't do with E. coli. Interesting enough, Dr. Sherry, that came out of the hot pools of Yellowstone Park. Well, everybody's worried about the Yellowstone supervolcano going off. I tell them the mega biological eruption happened with one little bacteria out of Yellowstone Park called Thermus aquaticus. That's just to put everybody's mind at ease that it's not the great big things you see, it's the little things. But because people won't speak up, stand up, speak out, somehow it's like, I used to say this, it's like a guy who's basically blindfolded singing and he's going to be before a firing squad and he thinks if he sings louder, he doesn't die. And I think of the words of the Lord, you know, and God's pleadings with, why will we die, O men, O women? Why do we die? Why do we choose? If we can choose life, we can choose life. But right now, outside of Jesus Christ, there is no life on the planet. This is a dead and dying planet. It's in total rebellion against the living God. And Doug, we've got to give people hope. The hope is in Jesus. The provision is in Jesus. The protection is in Jesus. And at the end of the day, unto him be all things. But it's interesting to me, too, Dr. Tenpenny, that the Christians have led the way. And obviously, your testimony and your writings and your 435 speaking engagements in whatever form or fashion. But again, people cannot equate the physical manifestations with evil with the supernatural source of evil. It's just that all they know is what they're told and programmed. So I love the statement, turn off mainstream. I don't listen to mainstream. I call them vomit brokers. I have for 25 years. Vomit isn't a nice appetizer because all you're getting is regurgitated propaganda. So people have to study to show yourselves approved unto God. That's what the scripture says. And we're trying to give you those assets. And that's why, too, you know, Dr. Sherry, the idea of extinction protocols, globalists initiate tribulations, it doesn't, here's what I want people to understand. You've heard it too. Well, I can't wait to go back to normal. I actually had a person say to me, well, I got the vaccine. Now things will go back to normal. I said, you just went from basically stupid to super stupid. And well, don't call me stupid. I said, listen, you don't get it. The word normal can't be. The New World Order is nothing more than the global rule of Satan on earth for the given amount of time. The Bible says, and people say, well, that's a defeatist attitude. No, it's a victory attitude. Because if you understand the war, you can understand the weapons of our warfare. And you can understand that, ladies and gentlemen, I tell people this, when you take a stand for Jesus, he takes a stand for you against your enemies. You know, Dr. Temeny, over to you.
Well, amen and amen.
I'll throw a third amen in there. Yes.
Yes. And not a woman, right? Yes. Amen and a woman. I mean, talk about, you know, Congress throwing God out. You know, that just was so appalling to me. There's a couple of additional pieces of this information about these shots that I think is really important. I belong to a group. It's called Millions Against Medical Mandates. It's MMAM.org, Millions Against Medical Mandates. We've been working for 2 years from a grassroots perspective to get this information out. And we've defined a group that's sort of our target group that we call them the movable middle. They're the people that are still asking questions, that they just want information because, you know, they've just now recently turned off CNN and now they're starting to explore and understand. And they haven't made their appointment for their shot yet. They're still sort of questioning. So we call them the immovable middle. Well, I want to give a couple of more mechanisms of injury that are really important to that movable middle, to the people that are like, yeah, I don't know. Everybody around me is getting this shot. I'm still not sure. Think about this for just a minute. Remember I described earlier about that messenger RNA protein, that messenger RNA that has a recipe that creates the protein. The Pfizer shot, people are moving towards the Pfizer shot because they think, well, I only have to get one and it doesn't have messenger RNA. Well, let me break it to you. They're already talking about adding a second one and it doesn't have messenger RNA, but it has DNA in it. So that's even worse. So what's happening through that Pfizer shot is even worse, if you can believe it. And Steve, there are over 150 more shots for this virus in the developmental pipeline. There are 82 that are in human trials, different ones. Do we have 82 flu shots or 82 shots for shingles? Why do we need 150 more? What do they know or what do they have that's planned that's coming? So anyways, what we've got right now is all four of the shots that are approved, all four of them, you know, J&J and AstraZeneca introduced DNA. They are developed by cells of aborted fetal tissue. Those are the J&J shot and the AstraZeneca shot. The Pfizer shot and the Moderna shot, that's the messenger RNA. The end result of all four of them is to create a spike protein and the antibody against the spike protein. Now, this is what I want people to listen to really carefully. That spike protein, we already talked about four different ways that it can really harm you. One of the things it can do is it can cause a disruption in your blood-brain barrier, and it can go into your brain, and it can disrupt either the FUS gene or it can cause a mutation in a protein that's called TDP43, which the name of those things aren't that important. Just know that it can cause a disruption in one gene called the FUS gene, and if that gene is disrupted, it can lead to amyotrophic lateral sclerosis or ALS. If you disrupt FUS gene, it can lead to ALS or it can cause cancer. if it disrupts that protein, that funny name protein, that the FTD43 protein, if it disrupts or mutates that protein, it leads to a cluster of degenerative neurological problems called frontal temporal lobe degeneration. Your frontal lobe is the one that lives behind your forehead. Your temporal lobe is where your ears live. And it causes a degeneration of the tissue, brain tissue, that leads to early Alzheimer's and dementia and 5 different forms of degenerative neurological disease can result. All 5 of them cause you to lose speech, the ability to form words, and one of those forms, you lose facial recognition. They call it early and rapid degeneration. They call it from frontal temporal lobe degeneration, and they see it in people 45 to 50 years old where they have early onset dementia. We are going to be causing this, Steve and Doug. We're going to be causing this with these shots, that these spike proteins can cross the blood-brain barrier, mutate that gene leading to ALS, mutate that gene leading to cancer, or disrupting the protein that's causing early degenerative changes and degeneration of brain tissue. And all the physicians out there who are listening now or in the future, if you don't know this material, you're going to be held accountable for it. Now, whether or not you can't be sued, because the 2005 PREP Act keeps you from being sued, and you probably won't get fired from your job. But if you're listening to this, and ignorance is no defense in law, ignorance is no defense when you stand before God either. And you're encouraging your people, your patients to get this shot, saying it's completely safe, it won't harm you. You're going to be held accountable for your lack of knowledge and your laziness for not doing some investigation and reading this material to try to get somebody to get a shot to protect them from a 1% death rate. Will the Lord be saying to you, well done, good and faithful servant? Or will the Lord be saying to you, get away from me, I know you not? Because you're leading your patients to destruction by encouraging them to get these shots that you know nothing about.
Steve, that's a mic drop moment, mic drop statement if I ever heard one. Are you accepting new patients, doctor? I'm kidding, of course, but not really.
Yeah, we do see new patients. We are. I still see patients 2 days a week in the office, and I've got a staff of 13 people, 3 nurse practitioners, a physician's assistant, and another doctor who are seeing many more patients than I am.
Because you and I are close to one another, believe it or not. I'm in Erie, so.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's right.
I didn't know that. Yeah. So my office is in Middleburg Heights. For people that want to look it up, I'll do a shameless advertisement here. You can go to Tenpenny IMC, which stands for Tenpenny Integrative Medical Center, tenpennyimc.com, and you can read the sort of offers that we have. The best way to find me and all of the things that I do, all our educational platforms, all our social media platforms, my podcast, all of those things, is if you go to drtenpenny.com, which is DR, no period, Tenpenny, just like it sounds, drtenpenny.com, and we have a lot of different, fingers of things we do, our podcast, our website, my blogging sites, all of these different things, our Vaxxer.com, which is our news site, all of that stuff in our clinic. Everything can be found at drtenpenny.com.
And I have to say, folks, it'll be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. You've got to really spend some time with this site from here. Look at all of the assets, resources available to you. Dr. Tenpenny, really, what a valuable resource. And by the way, we still have time left. Mic drop moment was just statement was so, just so great, that you made, you know, that, ignorance is not going to be, or is not an excuse. If I can ask one question, Steve and doctor, if I can ask you this, the tests, where they tickle your brain, your frontal lobe with that, whatever they stick up your nose, I've never had one done, but should people be aware, concerned about that?
Very much so. First of all, the PCR testing is total fraud. We have built the entire system and taken the world to its knees based on a fraudulent virus a mask system that does nothing but subjugate, social distancing, which is a lie. It does nothing. I mean, and on the fraudulent testing of the PCR testing, Dr. Carrie Mullis, who was the inventor of the PCR testing and actually won the Nobel Prize for that, said very clearly from the very beginning, this is a laboratory testing a device only used for laboratory research. It was never, ever, 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 ever intended to be used as a clinical diagnostic tool. Now, when they kicked up all these EUAs, these emergency utilization authorizations, they gave emergency use to more than 500 different companies to create their own test kits. So they're not even standardized. So if you get tested five times and there's five different test kits that are used, you cannot compare the data across them. The other thing is, why do we need to be, if this is supposed to be the most deadly, unbelievably contagious germ ever, that we brought the entire world to its knees over this, why do I need to be tested to prove I have it? And why do you need to take a 6-inch long Q-tip and skewer the back of my throat with it? I mean, I can imagine that most people who are listening to this, some point in time in their life, they've gone to the doctor with a really bad sore throat and they've gotten a quick strep or they've got tested for mono from the back of their throat. It takes a couple of seconds to swab the back of their throat and test it. The appropriate way on the instructions that they tell you to use to get a PCR test, first of all, it's a 6-inch long Q-tip that slides back around along the in through your nostril back to the back of your throat. If they're putting it up this way, they're harming you, and it's bad technique. It's supposed to slide back, but then when you get it all the way back there, you're supposed to rotate it 10 to 15 times to the left, 10 to 15 times to the right, and then let it sit there for 15 seconds. Why? What are they depositing there? We don't know. I've heard that people said that the Q-tips are contaminated and they've never felt right after they've had the testing. We know that a lot of the Q-tips that came out of China and went to the Eastern Europe, they tested them, they were contaminated with coronaviruses. I've seen rumors that perhaps there's nanotechnology on the Q-tips. I personally don't have any proof that that's true or not true. Could it be with these nefarious people that are doing this? Probably so. And just to be clear, there's no such thing as an asymptomatic carrier. They confabulated that. They made it up so that people would wear their mask and be afraid that, oh, if you don't have on a mask, you might be spreading something to me. Really? I'm perfectly healthy. There's nothing wrong with me. How can I share something with you that I don't have? And if it's so deadly, how would you know that you had it unless you got tested for it? You know, the only thing that the PCR test is doing, Doug, the only thing that it's doing is it's finding little tiny pieces of genetic fragment of that virus that you may have been exposed to with one of those four types of garden variety coronaviruses 25 years ago. And they can find a piece of that and go, oh, you're positive. You're a case. Doesn't mean you're sick. It means you have a positive test that was never designed to be used in clinical medicine. But we have cases, 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 cases. We have a case-demic, not a sickness-demic, not people dying because less than 1% of people die, not anybody dying from old age or from heart attacks, not in a whole bunch of people in the intensive care unit. It's all fraud. So all of the testing, all of the things that have happened, if you don't know what something that's called a CT value, which is how many times they've had to double the quantity of virus at the end of that Q-tip to be able to even see it and to know that it's there, it's called the CT value. If you don't know what the CT value is, it means nothing. And if the CT value is greater than 30, it's a false positive test. You know, in Florida, this was back, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago now, they actually passed a law in Florida that when you get tested, you get a PCR test, that they are required by law to also release what the CT value of that laboratory was, that when you put those two things together, to know whether or not you are sick or whether they found some little piece of genetic material that's been around there for a long time. They're, to my knowledge, they're the only state that by law is required to do that. The entire thing about testing, and now you have to be tested weekly. They're talking about testing children weekly. They're now talking about testing animals. I actually saw a picture where they were testing a cat. And so it's like, now we're going to see if all these animals are supposed to be shot up by these corona shots. And now we wear a mask. We can't visit grandma. You're not supposed to hold your kids. And you can't hug anybody. But the only thing in your life that has been precious to you has been your animal. Now you got to test the animal and see if the animal needs to be taken out of the home. These people are evil. They are evil beyond the every possible definition of the word evil. So avoid the testing. Don't do it. Don't get the shot. Stand up with lots of organizations that are standing up against us. You know, millionsagainstmedicalmandates.org, we're fighting on the grassroots level. There are lots of different organizations that are really fighting to get this information out, because the remnant people, the people that understand it from a spiritual perspective, from Ephesians 6, that we're fighting powers and principalities of darkness. We can't stand against those people with guns and bullets and even numbers, because they've got us outnumbered, outmoneyed, outpowered, out everything. But with God in the middle of it, with God in the middle of it, all things are possible.
Amen.
One of the things too, hey Doug, one of the things we've got to address right now is the presence of prions. And I want to ask you about this, Dr. Sherry, because I'm reading the headline, mystery brain illness that resembles deadly mad cow disease reported in 43 people in Canada. A lot of the old days, you know, whether it's true or not, the whole thing with prions, and morons, but you're a medical doctor, so I'll deal with the morons, you deal with the prions. That the prions, you know, obviously, I had my partner of 10 years passed away months ago. I mean, we haven't been partners for probably 5 years, but he passed away of ALS, okay? But the situation is, in doing the research on mad cow, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, whirling disease, back, that was almost 15 years ago, there was always a tie, if you will, to cannibalism, and let's say spongiform encephalopathy, turning the brain to, you know, sponge. And now it's saying they're saying it's not the same disease, but there are reports of prions showing up in some of the byproducts or the tests for specific. Are you hearing that?
Well, what prions basically are in terms of brain disease are really, it's a little breakdown of foreign protein. It's a breakdown of the brain. And so they are actually using that when they talk about the spike protein going into the brain. You know, Steve and Doug, I mean, henceforth going forward, every single time that you read a news report or you read a medical report or anything like that, people need to take a step back and say, was that person vaccinated? You know, they hear about, you know, this cluster of like all these neurological complications now that are coming out. I just read this report yesterday, this cluster of people that supposedly had real COVID infection that they're having psychological and neurological problems. Really? Has anybody sorted that data to say these were people that were vaccinated or not vaccinated? You know, and so I think all of those things I think are really super important, because one of the other things that I hadn't mentioned was there was a really important study that was published in January by Dr. Voigiani's group out of California, that they looked at 50, they said, okay, all these people are getting these shots and they're developing these anti-spike antibodies. Do those antibodies cross-react with tissue types in our system? So they set up an experiment where they took 55 different tissue types in little wells, little liquid pieces of the tissue type, and then they dropped the antibodies on those wells, the anti-spike antibodies. And what they discovered was that 28 different organ type, tissue types in our bodies will cross-react with the anti-spike antibody. So you get the shot, you develop the protein, you get the antibody. That antibody then can go and attack through an autoimmune disease and cause autoimmune disease in 28 different organ types in your body. The two most prevalent ones, one is in the brain and the other is a protein inside of your mitochondria. Your mitochondria are your little energy factories that produce ATP that give you energy. And that antibody can attack that, that mitochondria, which I believe, in my opinion, is one of the reasons why after people get these shots, one of their the number one reported side effect and the most persistent side effect after getting the shot is profound fatigue. It's because that antibody is destroying the little tiny organelles inside of your cells that produce your energy. And as that goes on, it's like just click walking through your house and clicking off light switches until all the light switches are turned off. It's one of the reasons why the cardiac arrhythmias are starting. We're seeing it after these shots because the heart tissue itself has the highest concentration of mitochondria of any organ in the body. So you start clicking off half of the mitochondria, your heart, our electrical system doesn't work right. It's why people were seeing myocarditis and people like their heart muscle just can't contract anymore because you've killed off the little organelles that give the heart muscle energy. I mean, Steve and Doug, this is the how profound these shots are going to affect the human race. It's horrifying. I mean, sometimes I feel like, and I've used this analogy sometimes, I said, I feel like I'm sitting up on a mountain and looking over to my left is all of the human race and looking over to the right is this massive tsunami that's coming. Massive, like biblical tsunami or something you see in like in movies. And I'm standing there, I'm screaming at humanity saying, please don't run, get out of the way, stop, do whatever it takes, get the high ground. And everybody's just having a picnic and doing their thing and can't wait to get their shot, you know, and the tsunami of illness and chronic illness and death that's coming is horrifying.
Steve?
Doc.
Go ahead. No, this is fabulous. Folks, if you like this, if you're finding, I'll say this, if you're finding value to what you're hearing, and I know you are, Dr. Tenpenny has invested a lot of her own time, her own money. Her page is going to be linked off of HagmanReport.com. You can support her as well. There's a link for supporting Dr. Tenpenny. I would recommend you do so. Okay. Because, that way I can get in for free. No, I'm kidding. No.
Thou shalt not weasel on my sister.
Exactly. But you know what? The value of what you're hearing cannot be overstated. There's just no way. That brings me to Extinction Protocols. Dr. Tenpenny is going to be a keynote speaker there. Folks, please sign up. Just her presentation alone is going to be worth the price of admission. But putting it all together in the big picture, look at this. Look at that lineup. Look at that lineup. You can't beat this. I mean, there it is on your screen, folks. And for the radio listeners, go to gen6.com. That's gen6.com. And you can see, of course, the lineup for the Extinction Protocol. Steve, I'm going to kick it back over to you. We've got about, 4 minutes left. How time flies.
One of the requests I would like to make to people is when you have a legacy, if you don't have anybody that is a natural heir that you would trust, you know, and you've worked a lot, I would say this, when you stand behind Dr. Tenpenny and this group with your finances, prayers, absolutely. In lieu of finances, prayer, sure. But those of you who can afford it should be really thinking about this because in essence, your children and grandchildren have no hope. They don't. If it weren't for the courage of those who do have it versus the silence from those who don't possess courage, there would be no place to go. And seriously, I'm saying this, it's like, and I would liken your illustration, doctor, to not only sitting there and having given people the key to a door to escape the tsunami that's coming, and that's who Jesus is for all of us, but I'm saying for those of you who God has blessed with wealth, with finances, you have no heirs, you're getting up in age, you're wondering what's coming of this world, well, you won't have to be here. For those that do, I'd encourage you to contact Dr. Tenpenny and support her financially.
Well, I would say that, thank you so much for saying that, Stephen. I will say that for those people who are generous or are in a position to be able to do that, for contributions of $500 or more, you can make a tax-deductible contribution to our foundation. And our foundation is the Uttaman Foundation. And Uttaman is a Malaysian word that means emissaries and messengers. And so that's being set up as we speak. I mean, we have another foundation that's already there that you can contact me personally if you've got a larger contribution. We set the bar at $500, Steve, because we don't have the staff to be able to respond to people with much smaller contributions, which is really a lot of work. But if anybody has a generosity in their heart and you really want to support this work, please contact me personally. If you want to make a tax deductible contribution of more than $500, if you want to make a smaller contribution, every $5 always helps, and you can do it directly through the drtenpenny.com website.
I think here's the thing. There's an old statement called either put up or shut up. And, you know, that's something I still believe that because, ladies and gentlemen, because so many people, and I know, listen, I'm grateful. We have supporters, Dr. Tenpenny, Doug does, I do. We have some of the most generous people. We have people that are caring for the widows and orphans, which is scripture talks about. But, ladies and gentlemen, those who have, you know, mega dollars, you're in the seven-figure realm, consider this. I'm not asking for Doug and I. I'm saying this. When you've got the group of professionals and the group of researchers and the bona fides that they have, you've heard Dr. Tenpenny's heart, I would really ask you to stand behind her. And I'm telling you this, I'm so excited to be, and I'm going to do it. You know, I didn't know about your group until you just told me, okay? And you guys accept PayPal too, right?
Yes,
okay.
We do.
So,
PayPal, so, Stripe, yeah, all of those things.
Okay. But the thing is that here's the deal, Doug. A lot of people are, and usually those who, with the exception of the young techno billionaires and stuff, but there's a lot of people that have worked all their life and they're heartbroken over the country. And when I see groups like this, like Dr. Tenpenny's and stuff, fighting to absolutely save the human race. Now, that's what I don't think people understand, Dr. Tenpenny. This is not a political action committee. This is not a, even quote those people, I don't want to get involved in religious. How about your own self life? How about your own existence? This is a matter of existence. And I'm telling you, Extinction Protocols, everything I know, everyone I know, everyone, and I know a lot of people because God has brought them across my path. Not bragging. It's just, you know, be on talk radio for 25 years and you get to know some people. But the point is not one of them can even argue with the title Extinction Protocols, Globalists initiate Tribulations, plural, because we know the four horsemen of the apocalypse are already on the move. And if I spilled my guts, I won't take your time, and told everybody what's going on just in Russia and in all the different places that does not fare well for humanity, I'm saying do what you can do while we can do it, because if Dr. Tenpenny has 10 people won to the Lord in the next week, that's 10 more people you'll get to shake their hands in heaven. If we
Amen.
Get 100 in the next month, that's 100 more, because the Bible says he who wins souls is wise. But if Jesus could lay his life down for humanity and take it up again, because God created us to be something other than what you see now, and that's conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, then how dare we sit back and give in to all the devils, the vultures, the Satanists, the globalists, the Luciferians, and say and do nothing? And I've said this before, you might be surprised when you step into the arena of faith and fight the good fight of faith that the living God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God's immediacy is upon you. Go, what have I been missing all these years? And you'll probably come up with the solution. I haven't been talking about Jesus. Where Jesus is, the power of the Holy Spirit is. And Jesus went about healing all that were afflicted, all that were sick, and all that were possessed. And I want to say something. We know that Mystery Babylon becomes a habitation of devils. And I believe the United States, as it stands now, its corporate finance, its military, its politicians are totally demon-possessed. They are totally. We are a nation given over to demon possession. that ought to be good for a quote in some leftist news mouth, but we are. So the point is that here is, by the way, the Catholic Church says they need 61,000 more exorcists just to deal with the immediate case. And I said, and you guys haven't even stepped into Congress yet, you know? So the point is that we have to do this, Doug. We have to. Dr. Tenpenny, thank you so much. And I look forward to your presentation. Again, it's a blessing for me to have met you. It's a blessing for you to have shared with the Hagman Report audience. And I'm excited.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity, really.
Thank you, Doctor. This has been most enlightening, and I know this is going to save lives. You're saving lives. You're doing God's work, and I can't wait to hear you and see you on the Extinction Protocols. Folks, please support the work of Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I mean this from the heart. We're going to be doing it from here at the Hagman Studio. Steve, I want to thank you for putting together just an A-list of qualified speakers at Extinction Protocols, and we are out of time. Both of you, may God bless each one of you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Blessings.
Blessings as well. Folks, that'll do it. We are out of time. I just want to wish everyone a very blessed evening, and please share this with your friends. Please. As if your life depends on it, because it does. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a great night. We'll be right back.